الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us social constructs. What that means is that you and I to survive, or the humankind to survive, need to socialize. If an individual lives in the mountain somewhere, even for him to conduct his affairs will require somebody else. If he needs to buy arrows or needs certain materials, he needs to interact with somebody else for him to get his job done. So life requires an individual to socialize. And I mentioned last week that the religion is a whole way of life. And there are five branches. Number one, Imaniyat, Aqaid, our beliefs. It begins with our beliefs. A person can't be a believer if he doesn't believe in Allah, the angels, etc. And there's a whole subject, a whole field of it. So number one, Aqaid, beliefs. Number two, Ibadat, our Salah, our Zakah, our Hajj. Second branch. Third branch, Mu'amalat, our monetary transactions. How do we buy and sell? In terms of meat, how is it slaughtered? These are all part of Mu'amalat. Mu'asharat, our social interactions. How are we as a guest? How do we interact with others? What's our conduct? And Akhlaq, more internal. So that some scholars differentiate between Mu'asharat and Akhlaq as Mu'asharat is how you interact and your conduct externally, and akhlaq is your internal affairs. For example, hasad, jealousy. Whereas the manifestation of that will be in your mu'ashara. So they differentiate like that. But today I want to focus on the third one of mu'amalat, of transactions, a little more social and monetary, but a focus towards us being social constructs. That we need to socialize. Meaning for us to get our affairs done, you can't live an individualistic life. You have others. A person will have a wife, he'll have children. That means that they're going to socialize. You're not going to be an individual. There's going to be others. Now, since we now need to socialize, we now need laws on our social affairs. Remember, religion is an entire way of life. If our religion was only restricted or limited to our beliefs and our ibadat, there would be mayhem in society in terms of our transactions, in terms of fulfillment of rights. So our religion gives us the laws in regards to our social life also. For example, the wife has rights, the children, they have rights. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made wealth a means of fulfilling needs. The world works and functions on that. Now, today we might have more currencies, but previously during the time of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, it was more mubadaratul mali bil mal. It was more transactions would take place between items. For example, you needed something, or dates in exchange for some goods. It wasn't necessarily a currency. There was no currency then. Gold and silver were used, dirham and dinar, they were used, but the exchange was more, the more prevalent exchange was between items. That was more prevalent. Then later, as then the Muruk, the kingdoms were established, the currencies became where each nation had their own currency. But however the situation, the gold and silver were the initial modes of exchange and commodities. Now, to be a productive individual means an individual needs to do his productive things. Now, what's productivity? Meaning, a person needs to survive. How does he survive? He needs to work. How does a person work is where the laws now come into play. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ. The person whose sole purpose becomes the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his matters dispersed for him. And I'll give an example. And وَجَعَلَ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ, and he will place poverty in front of his eyes. meaning we need to do productive things. We need to work, we need to earn. However, that does not become the purpose of an individual's life. Rasulullah mentions that the person who makes wealth and he makes working his purpose, then Allah will make his matters dispersed for him. I'll give you an example. We were in a certain place, I won't mention where, and there was an individual that was there, very, very, very wealthy. Had a very successful cardiovascular clinic, generating over $2 million a year. And he's in his 70s, but he had three jobs. In his 70s, that clinic earns about over 2 million, and he would go, despite his clinic being about maximum 3-minute drive from the masjid, he would have two additional jobs, one of which he would travel 3 hours for, and that would not, he would earn probably less than a tenth of what that clinic was earning him. But he would travel that far for his second, and he was in his 70s. He couldn't perform his salah standing up either. So my classmate and I looked at each other and said, why would somebody go through this? And when we had certain discussions and talking about buying a car, and the car value was not more than $80,000, he said, yeah, you know, if I can afford it. My classmate just looked at each other and said, مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَ وَجَعَلَ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنِ عَيْنَيْهِ. That when the world becomes your purpose, your matters become dispersed. Something which is 5 minutes from the masjid, you're traveling 3 hours away for a second job, third job. And وَجَعَلَ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنِ عَيْنَيْهِ, he only sees poverty in front of him. Only poverty in front of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made wealth, the acquisition of wealth, halal. And he's made it necessary to earn a living. A person can't be sat on his backside at home and say, you know, let's reap the benefit system, let's take benefits and, you know, milk the system. طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ وَاجِبٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. One authentic narration that to seek halal wealth, it's necessary, incumbent upon every believer. Now, it doesn't mean on every individual, but those that need to earn for the household. Upon them, it's wajib for them to earn, for them to have their halal income. And eating from one's own hands, from one's own labor, that is the best earning. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, مَا أَكَلَ أَحْدٍ طَعَامًا قَطُّ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. That no person consumes better than what he consumes from his own hands. Meaning he works, he earns, he buys, and he feeds his family. And it's so noble, this act, that Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا كَانَهُ صَدَقًا. That when a person does this with the right intention, with such nobility, it's spiritually impacting. How? That when a person spends this money on his family, that expenditure is a form of sadaqah for that individual. Now, I want you and I to think. You go out, you go for your 9-to-5. It's boring, it's doing routine, it's robotic, it's difficult. Yet when a person has this mentality and he has this paradigm shift, this thing within his mind that I am discharging a responsibility. This is a responsibility, this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me, I will fulfill it. It becomes a means of charity, something spiritual for that individual. That's the mentality that we need to develop. That the religion is not limited to our ibadat and our beliefs. Rather, it's holistic. It's far more than that. It's an entire way of living, an entire way of life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, somebody asked him, أَيُّ الْكَسْبِ أَطْيَبِ. What is the purest earning? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, عَامَلُ الرَّجُلِ بِيَدِهِ. A person works with his own hands. I mean, he does and he earns from his own labor. And he said, وَكُلُّ بَيْعٍ مَبْرُورٍ. And every honest transaction. And just one hadith, just ending on this point before I move on. One person... The Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw him and they saw, فَرَأَى مِنْ جَلَدِهِ وَنَشَاطِهِ. They saw his indulgence and they saw his enthusiasm. Like, you know, this person, he looks quite, his appearance is good and he's nashat, he's very active. He's got the enthusiasm, the exuberance about him. So they said that if only, they said to Rasulullah, if only this person would go in the path of Allah. Rasulullah looked at them and said, إِنْ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ وَلَدِهِ صِغَارًا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If he's leaving his home, working to earn for his young dependents, then he is in the path of Allah. Then he said, وَإِنْ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى على نفسه يعفها فهو في سبيل الله. If he is leaving his home for chastity, meaning he's leaving his home for himself, so he doesn't have to beg, he doesn't have to ask anyone, he's not taking somebody else's wealth. Put this in context of taking the benefit system. He's earning for himself. He wants to keep himself pure, chaste. If he's doing that with that intention, he's in the path of Allah. However, if he's doing this riya'an wa mufakharatan, if he's doing this insincerely to make for name and fame, if he's doing that, then he is in the path of shaitan. What's differentiating him from the other situation is his intention and his sincerity. That the fact that he's going out to earn, but it's a means of him being in the path of Allah, meaning it's spiritually impacting. It's rewarding for that individual. Now, you and I practically, how do we apply this into our lives? Six components to have a successful and a spiritually impacting income. Six conditions. Number one, I've already highlighted a few points on this, that our intention needs to be correct. I am going, when I'm going, I am doing this, that I don't have to ask of anyone else's wealth. I am earning from my own labor, from my own actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razaq, He's the one who's providing. Yet I am making my effort, I am not going to beg and I'm not going to ask of anybody else. I do my own work. That's number one. I mentioned a few ahadith on that regard. Number two, the action needs to be correct. I'll explain that, it needs to be halal. Number three, it needs to be just and not illegal. No fake documentation, no bribery, like how it works in certain parts of the world. Number four, truthfulness and trustworthiness. I'll break all these down. Number five, sincerity and open-heartedness. And number six, it doesn't distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one was being sincere, that the action is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has that I'm going to earn to keep myself pure and to provide for my family. Number two, that the action is correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Eat from the earth which is halal, which is allowed, and two is طيب, is pure. I'll break them two down. Halal means it's correct in of itself. طيب in this context I'm referring to is that nobody else's right is attached to it. I'll explain. You have an animal. It's slaughtered correctly. That meat is now halal, meaning it's done in the correct manner, is halal. However, you are not allowed to consume it because it was stolen. It's not tayyib. Somebody else's right is attached to it. So it's not halal and tayyib, you cannot consume that. Because the meat, although it's slaughtered correctly, it's stolen, therefore it's impermissible. Now let me switch this around. Something which nobody else's right is attached to, but it's not halal. Alright, impermissible meat. The meat has been stunned where the animal died before slaughter. The meat is impermissible. However, nobody else's right is attached to it. So yes, it's tayyib in the sense that nobody else owns that. However, it's not halal because it's not been slaughtered correctly. So both conditions. It needs to be one, halal in of itself, and number two, nobody else's right is attached to it. Another example, alcohol. Somebody is selling alcohol in his shop. Now, nobody else owns that but him. So that transaction in of itself, he owns it, he can, but that earning is not halal because he's not allowed to sell alcohol. So that wealth and that income is impermissible. Moving on. Number three, being just and not illegal. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. There are three things that a person needs to ensure when he does his job. Number one, that his role itself is halal. That what he's doing, the role in of itself, is not problematic. That, for example, selling alcohol would be problematic. And number two, what is he facilitating? This is a little more of an ethical concern, and not necessarily permissibility. Go refer to your local scholars for a little more commentary on this. But for example, a person is working in a certain place that they manufacture weapons. And that those same weapons are used to kill our brothers and sisters in Palestine. There's an serious ethical concern there. What is he facilitating that individual in that scenario? Again, refer to your local scholars because this one's a little more complex. And number three, the duration of your employment, ensure that you are doing only what you are supposed to be doing. You know, some people, they're behind a computer. You know, somebody's gone away on WhatsApp or Hot UK Deals doing what they want to do. During the duration that you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, you do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Those mutaffifin, I'll explain who they were. They were those individuals that when it came to taking their right, they would demand full. But when it came to giving others, they would reduce. So when we employ somebody, we take 100% from them. That when you ask somebody to do a job in your home, some work, some labor, you take 100% and you milk them completely. However, when it comes to you giving to somebody else, you doing your role, here and there, you'll do your minimums, but you won't fulfill their role completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe be unto these individuals. Number four, trust, truth and trustworthiness. This businessman, this individual, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, التَّاجِرُ الصَّدُوقُ الْأَمِينُ مَعَ النَّبِينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. They're a businessman that is a saduq. He is truthful and he is amanadar. He is trustworthy. This individual will be with the prophets, he will be with the siddiqeen, and he'll be with the martyrs. Now, think, what's the relationship between a businessman, a person who's buying and selling, and being raised in the status of the prophets, the siddiqeen, and the martyrs? Number one, the difficulty in such a role. It's so easy when you see though, when you see that income, when you see the profit in front of you, that the business, how lucrative it is, to lie, to twist something in that scenario. Somebody comes, their car has a fault, and you twist it in that scenario to say, yep, that my diagnosis is there are these 10 errors, there's one. But you give them that 10 errors, so you can make 10 times or 5 times the amount in that situation. In that scenario, how damaging that can be, that if that person is in a financially difficult situation, it places more pressure on him, his family, his extension, that the damage it can cause in the society and the community altogether, all because of the lack of trust, because of the lack of integrity of an individual. So this individual that has this trust, who's trustworthy and is truthful, has such a spiritual impact, the reward, that this person will be raised amongst the prophets, amongst the siddiqeen and the martyrs. Number five, trust, sincerity and open-heartedness, being lenient in transactions. There was one individual, after he passed away, he was asked, مَا عَمِلْتَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. What good have you done? And he said, the only thing I used to do was, other than his faraid, of course, he said, the only thing I would do was, I would mention to my children that anybody who's in a difficult situation, be lenient with them. Give them respite or forgive their debts. And because of that, فَتَجَاوَزُوا عَنْ, he was forgiven altogether. Because of his leniency he would show, again, the faraid and wajibat were fulfilled, but because of the leniency that he would show, his forgiveness was done. What my point over here is looking at the relationship between mu'amalat and our spirituality, and our own ruhani, our own ibadah. And finally, number six, that recognizing that work, business, all these things, they're a means and not the ends. They're a means to fulfill your necessities, they're a means to fulfill your needs. However, we don't live to work, we work to live. They don't become our purpose. It should not distract us from our salah. If a person is difficult and he can't perform it in the masjid, then establish jama'ah at the workplace. At the very minimum, no salah should ever become qada. At that point, then there's a real problem there. That the fara'id and wajibat are being compromised. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions the Sahaba, what does He describe them? Why? رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. They are those individuals whom trade nor occupation made them neglectful. It did not distract them from performing their salah and giving their zakah. Meaning their spirituality was not impacted by their occupation. These are the six things I'll repeat. Number one, intention. Our intention needs to be sincere. Having that sincere intention can be have an extreme spiritual impact. Number two, the action, the amal that we're doing needs to be correct. Number three, it needs to be just, doing what you're supposed to be doing and it's not illegal. Number four, being trustworthy and truthful. Number five, being open-hearted, being lenient with individuals, no harshness. And number six, it should not distract us from our affairs. May Allah grant us true understanding and tawfiq.